Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I just want to use these few verses to introduce this session, and it won't actually be the passage that we work on tonight, but it will help me explain where we're going. 1 Samuel, Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And that passage relates that Samuel was learning to communicate with God. And communication involves not only a person speaking, but a person listening. And I think sometimes we need help in learning how to listen to God's voice speaking to us. We need to develop our communication. And this is true not only in the spiritual realm, but also in practical ways. And one of the things I love are bulletin bloopers. Do you ever come across those? And somebody knows that I enjoy them, and so they sent me some new ones. So I have some new bulletin bloopers to share with you, because these are, you know, announcements and bulletins that somebody, you know, they meant one thing, but what came out was something that sounded totally different. They just lacked communication. So this is one that says, "Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Church. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa." It says, "The cost for attending fasting and prayer conference includes meals." Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I will not pass this way again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. "Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands." "Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donor for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons." "Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days." "Please place your donation in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered." "The pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their electric girdles for the pancake breakfast next Sunday morning." And these are my two all-time favorites. "The message this evening will be, 'What is hell like? Come early and listen to the choir practice.'" And the other one is, "Low self-esteem support group, 7 to 8:30, Eastview Baptist Church. Use the back door." Sometimes we just need help communicating, don't we? Not only with each other, but in our communication with the Lord. So the aim of this workshop is to share with you simple tools that will help you listen to him as he speaks to you through his word, so that you can develop your communication with him, which is the bedrock, really, so much of the foundation of your relationship with him. So before we have the workshop, let's just pray together. Father, we come now and we thank you for this busy full day. We thank you for all the things we left at home or wherever we were last night. We thank you that we are now at this place in your presence. We thank you for your word. Thank you that our shepherd speaks to us personally, calling us by name through the pages of Scripture. So we're asking now in this hour that you would tune our ears to hear your voice. Teach us, Lord, how to listen when we open the pages of our Bible. And I ask that the instructions in this workshop be clear. I pray that each person would understand. And as we go through the passage of Scripture, Lord, I pray tonight you would open it up in a personal way that each of us, before we go to bed tonight, would have the experience of having heard you speak to us personally through the pages of Scripture. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to listen to the voice of God speaking to you through the passage of Scripture, you need a Bible. And so I'm trusting that you brought a Bible and you have it in your lap tonight. You need also a pen or pencil, so I hope you have one of those. Everybody have a Bible? Everybody have a pencil or pen? Everybody have a neighbor who's got one or the other so you can borrow? And you need paper, and you've got your notebook. It's under tab 4, and this is workshop 1. And so if you'll turn in tab 4, it's going to give you the framework for the workshop tonight. And I'll explain that to you in a moment. But when you go home, you need your own copy of the Bible. And if you don't mind, underline it or highlight it and make little notes in it. Whenever God seems to speak to me personally through it, I write what he said and I date it so that through my Bible, I can look back and see the dates and the things that God has said to me. It helps hold you accountable for one thing. And then I have a notebook that I keep with my Bible at home that's leather bound and it has blank pages in it. And every day when I do my Bible reading, I just record the results of my Bible reading in that little notebook. And I don't put anything else in that notebook except the daily Bible reading that I do. And I'm going to share with you in a moment how to do that. So I suggest when you go home, get a translation of scripture that you enjoy. And you guys won't understand this, but I think translations are like lipsticks. You know, you just keep trying them until you find one that suits you. And then you just enjoy it. So there are wonderful modern translations out there. There's no excuse for saying you can't understand the Bible anymore because they're wonderful contemporary versions. And get yourself a little notebook. You can get a spiral-bound one at the drugstore or get a nice one at the bookstore and keep it with your Bible and record in it your Bible study. You need a pen or pencil. You need the time. And that's something I always fall short of. And I have never had the time to read my Bible, and what I've discovered is I have to make the time to read my Bible. And I suggest that you decide when you're going to read your Bible every day, if it's going to be morning, if it's going to be over your lunch break, if it's going to be at night before you go to bed, it doesn't matter. Whatever time you decide is okay, you just decide it, and then you keep it on your calendar like an appointment you would with your doctor or your child's teacher, and it can be 15 minutes, it can be 30 minutes, it can be an hour, you just decide that. So make the time, carve the time out to meet with the Lord every day. And then before you approach Scripture, always pray, because the watchman, the Holy Spirit, is the one who needs to open the door of your heart and open God's Word so that you hear God speaking to you personally through the pages of Scripture. You know, the Bible is a wonderful book of poetry and prophecy and history and all these wonderful things, and you can be blessed just reading it, but there is a dimension of the Bible that won't open up to you unless you pray first and approach it by faith. And so before you read your Bible, just pray and ask the watchman within you to open the understanding of your heart so that you can hear God speaking to you personally through it. So we have a Bible, pen or pencil, paper, which you have in your notebook. We've prayed, we've made the time tonight, and then you want to ask yourself these three questions as you read the passage, and I'm going to explain how to answer these questions. I want you to listen carefully because then I'm going to get you to do that yourself in a moment on another passage of Scripture. The first question says to list the facts. What does the passage say? And in order to answer that question, you have to read the passage. And I suggest when you go home, if you're working on a passage, you read it several times, but then the last time you read the passage, go back and list verse by verse, and in each verse, pinpoint the outstanding facts in that verse. And don't paraphrase, don't put it into your own words. So you pull out the nouns and the verbs, and you can leave out all the prepositional phrases and the adjectives and adverbs and things, and just find exactly what are the facts in that verse, and list the facts verse by verse. Go in sequence, and in the passage I'm going to give you in a moment, it's brief, so you can go verse by verse and pinpoint the outstanding facts. So you don't paraphrase, you're just literal, asking yourself, what does it say? And then recording it in the words of the passage that you're using. And if we were doing that on the passage I just read to you from 1 Samuel in verse 7, I thought the outstanding fact was that Samuel didn't know the Lord or his words. Verse 8, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel, who went to Eli. Verse 9, Eli told Samuel to lie down. If God called, say, speak, I'm listening. Verse 10, the Lord called Samuel, who said, speak, your servant is listening. So those are just the outstanding facts in that passage as far as I could tell. If you were answering that question on the same passage of Scripture, you might have more facts or less facts, and that's okay. You know, when you're doing a math problem in school, you know, you'd use a scratch sheet, and your scratch sheet would look different than mine, but would come to the same solution, would come to the same answer. And so you and I, on this particular question, we might have a different list of facts. Now, Facts are facts, and so there's going to be a similarity between our lists, especially if you stick with the words of the passage. But you may have more, I may have less, or vice versa. So don't think that you're trying to make a list just exactly like somebody else's. Yours is going to be different, but keep it to the facts, okay? Second question, what do the facts mean? And in answer to this question, you want to go back up to your list of facts and for each fact find a spiritual lesson or a spiritual principle to learn from that fact. And one way you can find spiritual lessons or principles is just to ask yourself, what are the people in the passage doing they should be doing, or what are they doing they shouldn't be doing? Is there a promise that you should claim, or a warning that you should heed, or a command that you should obey, or a promise that you should claim, or an example you should follow? You're just looking to see if there are lessons or principles that you can learn from that fact. So for every fact in your list, you ought to have at least one principle or lesson. In this passage from 1 Samuel, in verse 7, if the fact was that Samuel didn't know the Lord or his word, then I think one lesson could be that people within church often don't know the Lord or his word. Samuel was serving within the temple, and he didn't know the Lord or his word, and so I think we could say that there are people today within the church who don't know the Lord or his word. Verse 8, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel who went to Eli, and I think one lesson might be that sometimes God has to speak to us repeatedly before we recognize his voice. Aren't we glad? He spoke to Samuel three times. Finally, he got the message. Verse 9, if the fact was that Eli told Samuel to lie down, if God called, say, speak, I'm listening, then in verse 9, one of the lessons might be that we need instructions on how to listen to the voice of God. And in verse 10, if the fact was that the Lord called Samuel who said, speak, your servant is listening, then one lesson might be that God speaks to us personally and we need to listen as we read our Bibles. So do you see, I've just gone back up and taken the facts and pulled a lesson or principle from each fact. Okay, and if we were answering that question on the same passage, which we're going to do in a moment, we would have different lessons because you're looking at it from a different perspective. You come from a different walk of life, and you'll look at it through the colored lens of your own life, and that's fine. And for every verse you might find, or every fact, you might find more than one lesson or principle, and that's okay too. And it makes it, when we get together in a group and share, it makes it so rich because we share things that the other person hasn't thought of, and we sort of teach each other that way. So don't think that you're looking for a right or wrong answer. You're just looking from the facts to draw a principle or a lesson from that fact. And then the third question is where so often I begin to hear God speaking to me through the pages of Scripture. And the third question asks, what does this mean to me? And to answer this question, I go back up to the lessons I pulled from the facts, and I put the lesson in the form of a question that I would ask myself, or I might ask my children, or an audience to which I'm speaking. So in verse 7, if the lesson was that people within the church don't know the Lord or his word, or there are people within church who don't know the Lord or his word, then I might ask myself, since I'm in church, how well do I know the Lord or his word? In verse 8, if the lesson was that sometimes God has to speak to us repeatedly before we recognize his voice, then I might ask myself, how many times does God have to speak to me before I recognize his voice? In verse 9, if the lesson is that we need instructions on how to listen to God speak, then I might ask myself, am I willing to follow these instructions on how to listen? And then in verse 10, if a lesson was that God speaks to us personally and we need to listen, then I might ask myself, when I read my Bible, how expectant am I that God will speak to me through it? So I'm just taking the lessons, put them in the form of a question that I would ask myself again and again when I've done that. I've heard God speaking to me through the pages of his word. And there's nothing more thrilling and nothing more revitalizing to your devotional life and your walk with the Lord than to hear him lean out of heaven and speak to you personally, calling you by name through the pages of his word. So the three questions, what does it say? You list the facts. What does it mean? You draw a lesson or a principle from each fact. What does it mean to me? You put the lesson or the principle in the form of a question that you would ask yourself, okay? Now I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. Just 10 verses, verse 5 to 15. And I want you to answer just the first question only. So I want you to take out your piece of paper, and you don't have to click your notebook, so just leave it in your notebook, and open your Bible to the Gospel of John chapter 16, beginning with verse 5 through verse 15, and read the passage, then go back and verse by verse list the outstanding facts. And I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to do that. And just do this on your own, if you would. So the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. And you're just listing the facts. Read the passage and go back and verse by verse list the outstanding facts. Don't paraphrase, just use the words of the passage. Hopefully you got through your list. If not, maybe your neighbor did. So somebody share your list if you don't mind. And if you need something added or deleted, I'm sure we'll be glad to tell you. But somebody bold enough to just raise your hand and share your list of facts. Okay, thanks.
I'm going to him who sent me.
Okay, and give the verse number with you.
Five.
All right, so verse 5, I'm going to him who sent me.
Right.
All right, verse 6.
I didn't put one for 6. I said 7. I tell you the truth. 3 under 7. It is for your good. Mm-hmm. I will send him, Counselor, to you. Mm-hmm. In 8, he, the counselor, will convict the world of guilt.
Okay.
9, men do not believe me. 10, I am going to the Father, where you can no longer see me. 12, I have much more to say. 13, but the Holy Spirit will guide you. 14, he will bring glory to me. 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine.
Great. Okay, you did great. How come you left out verse 7?
I did 7.
Oh, verse 7. Oh, 6.
Let me look.
So maybe it just runs together. Somebody, who had one for verse 6? All right, the disciples were filled with grief. Okay, so that's easy. Okay, great. All right, and you were concise and brief and stuck to the passage. So, and I'm not going to belabor this, but yours might have been a little different than his, and if you had a different translation, it might sound a little different, but do you understand what we're doing? You're just pulling out facts. I'll give you mine real quickly, but just as an example of a list, I thought he did a superb job, and it's interesting how sometimes guys can just nail it. Women tend to get a little wordy, but anyway, you did great. Verse 5, I had, I'm going, yet none asked where. Verse 6, you're filled with grief. Verse 7, it's good I'm going, I will send the counselor. Verse 8, he will convict of guilt. Verse 9, in regard to sin. Verse 10, in regard to righteousness. Verse 11, in regard to judgment. So I took the opposite. He had the little explanation on the back, and I put the front part, but it doesn't make any difference. Verse 12, I have more to say than you can bear. Verse 13, the Spirit will guide you into truth and speak what he hears. Verse 14, he will bring glory to me. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. The Spirit will make it known to you. So those are just, to me, the outstanding facts. Your list could have been a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, but facts are facts. So if you stuck to the passage of Scripture, didn't paraphrase, it would sound similar. All right? Now we're going to have fun. I mean, that was fun, kind of. Gets a little tedious sometimes to list the facts. But you have to list the facts, don't you, before you can know what God's saying. So we want to see exactly what he said before then we find out what lessons or principles we can learn from this. So I want you to go back to this list of facts and draw at least one lesson or principle from each verse. You won't have time maybe to find one from each fact, but if you'll find at least a lesson or principle from each verse, and I would like for you to do this in a group because it is more fun. And so I suggest that two people in one row just turn around and get with two people in back and just, I know it's hard in these chairs that don't turn around, so you're just going to have to turn yourself around. And then introduce yourself, give your first name, tell everybody in your group where you came from today or where you came from to come to the Cove and where you went to first grade. And maybe somebody will know somebody back when. Don't elaborate because it's going to take too much time. And then together, see if you can find one lesson or principle from every verse in verses 5 to 15. And again, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. You can straighten back up, and thanks for twisting around. It just makes it more fun to do it together. But I want to go verse by verse, and we can't take every lesson that you found, but if someone has a lesson or a principle from verse 5, share it with us. What did you find from verse 5? If the facts were I'm going, yet none ask where, what do you think a lesson or a principle is from that verse? Okay, thanks.
When Jesus speaks what we don't want to hear,
okay? Sometimes when Jesus says something we don't want to hear, we don't want to talk about it, okay? That's good. All right, somebody else, another one from that.
The first part of that, you said, I'm going to the Father. And so, should we ask, where are we going?
Okay, all right, so you're sort of jumping down to the third question, putting it in the form of a question. But one lesson might be that he knows where he's going and has revealed it to us. So he reveals his future plans to us. And so that might be one lesson to learn from that. He knows what we're thinking on the inside, yes. All right, so we don't always ask God's purpose. And I think sometimes he misses our questions. You know, he said, you don't ask me. And you feel like he was sort of waiting for them to ask. And he missed it when they didn't. All right, let's go on down to verse 6. And if the fact was that you're filled with grief, then what might be a lesson that you would learn from that? Okay, so sometimes when he speaks, it actually causes pain initially. All right, something else, yes? Okay, separation from God brings sorrow. That's a good one. What's that?
Even Christ wept.
That's right. And so in a sense, he says even Christ wept, so we could really say he feels our pain in a sense, that he understood their grief. He knew they were grieving, knew how they were feeling on the inside, and that would be a lesson for me, that he knows how I feel. And then in verse 7, it's good I'm going, I will send the counselor. What did you find from that? Is there a lesson? Okay, he wasn't going to leave them in a sense without the Holy Spirit, who would equip them for the work that he expected them to do. And God always equips us for what he expects us and calls us to do. Good. Somebody up here. Yes. He doesn't leave us alone. He knows how to comfort the lonely, doesn't he? Okay, let's go on to the next verse. In verse 8, he will convict speaking of the counselor, he will convict of guilt. Okay.
Through the counselor, the world will learn of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Okay, so you put those, and it's sort of easy to put those verses together, isn't it? Because they just roll one right into another. So it's the world that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
I believe that he's showing here that the conviction comes, but also the right way to go.
Okay, good. All right, so he convicts us of the sin, but then shows us the right way to go. And I think in one lesson that I learned from this, it was an encouragement to me as a Bible teacher, that it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict of sin, not mine. I don't have to induce guilt on the audience, you know. The Holy Spirit can do that for me. That's all right. The Spirit is our conscience, isn't he? He works through our conscience, that's for sure. Yes.
And he also says that of sin because they do not believe in me.
All right.
When Jesus was asked, what may I do that I might work the works of God? He said, the work of God, the one work of God, is that you believe on him whom he hath sent.
All right.
And the one great sin is to reject him that he did sin.
Great. All right. So unbelief in Jesus, doubt of Jesus is sin, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit will convict us of that. Okay?
They also learn of judgment.
Okay, all right. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts of judgment. And if we engage in that sin and reject God's Son, Jesus, then we share really in the devil's condemnation, don't we? And we come under judgment. Anything else from those verses 8 to 11, when we sort of put them together? Yes?
The Holy Spirit has a job to do, a work, just like Jesus did.
Okay, good. The Holy Spirit has a job to do, just like Jesus did. And he works on the inside, doesn't he? Okay? Okay, so it requires faith, and it's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus real to us in the absence of the visible presence of Jesus, isn't it? And really speaking of his resurrection and ascension, and in the meantime, the Holy Spirit would be Jesus to us. All right, let's go to verse 12. And if the fact was, I have more to say to you than you can bear, is there a lesson or a principle to learn from that? Okay. We're not always ready to receive and to hear what the Holy Spirit would say. And so he can sort of withhold things from us, can't he? He just unveils it gradually, thank goodness. Because if we saw the whole picture at one time, we might not step out in faith, okay?
We might be second graders. We can't learn algebra yet.
Right, okay. Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. He knew that the disciples couldn't handle it yet.
Yeah.
You know, so he wasn't giving them algebra when they were just in the second grade. And I think he takes us at the level that we're on. And so I think maybe we have to be patient with ourselves, don't we? And we can't necessarily understand everything right now, but one day we will. So, all right, let's go on to verse 13. If the fact is that the Spirit will guide you into truth and speak what he hears, what do you have, what lesson do you draw from that, okay? A voice from God we can trust. Praise God, an authentic voice, right? The Spirit's voice, okay?
Rest in the Holy Spirit, he won't let you down.
All right, the Holy Spirit won't let us down. The best Bible teacher I know. All right, let's go to verse 14. And if the fact is that he will bring glory to me, Jesus said, what does that teach us? Okay, the Holy Spirit praises Jesus, glorifies Jesus. He doesn't draw attention to himself, really, does he? He gives all the glory and attention to Jesus, okay?
The lesson is, Jesus is to be glorified.
All right, good. Simple. Bottom line, Jesus is to be glorified, and the Holy Spirit leads us in that. Thank you. Last verse, verse 15. All that belongs to the Father is mine. The Spirit will make it known to you. Okay, unity in the Trinity, okay? All that God has is available to us through Christ. That's sort of mind-blowing, isn't it, if you just meditate on that? Anything else? All right, the Father and the Son is the same, and the Holy Spirit reveals him to us. All right, so you all have done a great job. Thank you. And I think just about everybody has participated. I watch you as you're reading your Bible, and, you know, this is not a retreat. And so we expect you to participate, and you have, and I know it's been a long day, and you're doing great. Let's go to the third question, and take these lessons and put them in the form of a question that you would ask yourself, and you can do this on your own, or you can do this with a person sitting next to you, or you can get back in your group, however you'd like to do it, but I'm just going to give you 5 or 6 minutes, and just see if maybe there's a lesson that seemed to speak to you or was most interesting. Go back and see if you can form it into a question that you would ask yourself. We're not going to go verse by verse this time, but if there was a particular lesson that was meaningful to you and you put it in the form of a question, if you just raise your hand and give us the verse number and the lesson and then the way you put it in the form of a question. Somebody want to share first? Yes, thank you.
Verse 13.
All right, verse 13.
He's the guide, am I willing to follow?
All right, he's the guide, am I willing to follow? All right, great, simple, yes, okay. All right, should I fear if God, or should I grieve, maybe? Should I be sad if God is leading, all right?
Verse 6 again, how can I change the sorrow to joy?
Okay, how can I change the sorrow to joy in verse 6? Am I willing to trust the Lord with the plans for my life, okay?
Verse 12, am I acting on what I have been given or waiting for more to be revealed?
Okay, am I acting on what I have been given or waiting for more to be revealed? I ask myself, how large is my capacity to receive what he has to say to me, you know? And this week, I think our capacities are going to be expanded, okay? All right, God is alive. Great, all right, and then so what are we going to ask ourselves? Can we think of that? He says, I'm going, yet none asks me where. So,
am I going where he is?
Okay, am I going where he is? Or, you know, what prayer or what question have I been afraid to ask? And, okay, over here.
Verse 7, does my life reflect in my faith that I truly believe God's plans are best for me?
Good, okay. Does my life reflect in my faith that I truly believe God's plans are best for me? All right.
Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. And the question is, do I make use of the wonderful resources God has for me?
Okay, so all that is the Father is mine. And she said, do I make use of the wonderful resources that God has for me? All right? Yes.
Verse 12, how much have I missed because I have not been ready to receive it?
Okay, in verse 12, how much have I missed because I've not been ready to receive it? All right? Okay.
Verse 14, if the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives within me, then my job is to glorify Jesus.
That's right. I ask myself when I teach, you know. So do other people, are they impressed with me or are they impressed with Jesus? Who do we glorify? On the back row.
Verse 6, what is the bigger picture, not just my feelings?
Okay, what's the bigger picture, not just my feelings? Good. Okay. Yes.
From verse 6, Jesus knows what causes me sorrow.
Okay.
Do I pay attention to what causes him sorrow?
Oh, good, good. All right, thank you, yes.
Verse 9, do I ask God enough to help my unbelief?
Okay, do I ask God enough to help my unbelief? All right. Who do I put my trust in from verse 7, did you say? Okay. Yeah, why would I want to be part of that? So so if he's already condemned, you know, so we don't want to share in that. So what am I doing maybe to warn other people about the condemnation to come if they throw their lot in with him? Okay?
I don't want to beat number 6 to death, but is Jesus saying something to me that I don't want to hear?
Okay, good. Is Jesus saying something to me that I don't want to hear? All right. They wouldn't ask the question because maybe they didn't want to hear the answer. And what prayer am I afraid to pray because I'm afraid of the answer that he's going to give me? And sometimes we don't want to listen because we're afraid of what we're going to hear. That's great. We're going to end on that one. Thank you very much. Thank you all for your participation. You've been fabulous, and I know it's been a long day, and you probably were partying all day yesterday and staying up late watching the fireworks. All right, something else on the back row? Okay. 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 So when have I conveyed the vision of his glory? We pray that you're going to glimpse his glory this weekend. Let me challenge you. In this simple exercise, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? Try it in your personal devotions. You can try it as family devotions. We've done it with our children. All of our children use these three questions on the scripture, and it can be a fun family discussion time. But before you teach it to your children, you do it yourself. And just try it in your personal devotions. And I suggest that you start in your favorite passage. So if your favorite passage is Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd, or John 17, the Lord prays for his own, or Romans 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Whatever your favorite passage is, just start in your favorite passage. Don't do the entire passage at once. You know, I use the New International Version. Actually, it's the old New International Version. But anyway, I just go a paragraph at a time. You know, why is it that we think we have to do a whole chapter to get through that chapter, to get to the next chapter, to finish that book so we can get on to the next book? And the idea behind this is to read a passage so you can hear God speaking to you through it. So I just take one paragraph every morning. Usually that's 3 or 4 verses. I list the facts. Then I ask, what are the lessons that I can draw from the facts? And then I take the lessons and put them in the form of a question that I would ask myself. And again, I have heard my shepherd's voice calling me by name, speaking to me through the pages of my Bible. So try it in your personal devotions with your favorite passage, just going one paragraph at a time. And then I do challenge you to share it with somebody else. In fact, if there's somebody at breakfast table in the morning that came in late, that wasn't here tonight, please share this with them because they're going to need that as a basis for our workshops tomorrow. So before we go back to bed, let me pray with you. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you. Oh, thank you for the dear Holy Spirit who gives us an understanding of things that are beyond comprehension, who does open our spiritual eyes and give us a glimpse of the vision of your glory. We're so grateful for his encouragement. And Lord, we're grateful for his conviction and for his leadership and his guidance. And thank you for all that he is to us, Jesus in us. And now we thank you for this passage, and we ask that as we go to bed tonight, we would still meditate on it and let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to us and take us back to John 10, that we might hear our shepherd's voice, that we might follow him. So we commit ourselves to you this night. In Jesus' name, amen.